fascist attack to prepare for empowering ourselves with the knowledge we need to build a democratic society. So whether it's $5,000, $1,000, $500, $100, give us those dead friends. $5,000, $1,500, $100, or 100 of you right now stepping up to the plate. 100 of you pledging $25 right now. Step up for a free press. Step up and donate to our Signal, our Tower Fund. Donate by calling 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. I'm Mimi Rosenberg. I'm Mimi Rosenberg for Building Bridges. Saying, stay strong, stay well, and do the same for our station. Keep it strong, keep it well.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned for Ecologic coming up.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm J.K. Canepa.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for December 24th, 2021.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
WBAI and Ecologic have been a source for news on Hurricane Sandy protection since 2012.
The plan for East River Park is unfortunately typical of what happens when politics gets in the way of science.
Our guest will explain how you can protect your parks in your neighborhood or anywhere. We'll let them introduce themselves so you have a voice to go with the name. Catherine?
Good afternoon and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Okay, well, my name is Catherine Freed. I am a former city council member for Lower Manhattan, a former Supreme Court justice, and I was of counsel on the lawsuit to try and save East River Park.
And Harriet?
I'm Harriet Hershorn, and I'm a documentary filmmaker and a 38-year resident of the Lower East Side.
So Ecologic's first show, wholly dedicated to this particular issue, was way back in July 2019. But I'm asking you now, Catherine, what choice did the community have?
Well, ironically enough, originally the choices that were presented to the community were actually very environmentally positive. There were a number of resiliency. There was a resiliency study that was done or started under the Bloomberg administration, and continued initially under the de Blasio administration, where the city met with the community for almost 4.5 years to come up with a number of different alternatives, and there were several that not only provided resiliency, meaning safety for people living inboard on the east side and from the park and the FDR Drive, but would also have saved the park or a good deal of the park. Unfortunately, that choice was taken away from the community by the de Blasio administration, who after, as I said, 4.5 years, all of a sudden literally went dark and refused to talk to the community, went into a huddle with a number of city agencies and a number of their engineering firms that they met with, and then came back with a whole new plan that wrapped the other proposals, proposed to literally clear-cut, completely kill, devastate a 50-acre park that had been there for over 80 years and had over 1,000 mature, healthy trees, and decided to dump between 8 to 10 feet of landfill on top of that park. It comes to just under about 1 million tons of landfill, and use that as a way, as it said, as the best way it thought for resiliency.
And we've seen a photograph of the devastation just today. And it looks like a war-torn piece of parched land. It's just so devastatingly sad.
Why should we care about trees?
Because trees provide us with a lot of things, including oxygen, including shade. They lower the temperature. It's estimated that park probably lowered the temperature by 13 degrees. One mature, healthy tree filters 70 times the pollution of a small little sapling. And also, roots, the root system of trees, bushes, other plants, also not only filter pollution, but they also sponge up water. So ironically, in many countries and many other cities and states in America, what they're doing for resiliency is planting more parks and more green things on the edge of the city, because it does sop up more water. It's only in New York that we seem to be doing a deforestation.
Harriet, what do you feel is something that we can do right now? What is the community doing? What is East River Park Action? And thank you very much for co-founding that organization.
Well, a lot of the community right now is really reeling from this.
And, people are going to the park and basically crying. Some people go to the park with their children to play and realize they can't get in, and then they see what's happened to it, and then everybody starts crying.
And so we're feeling a little bit disempowered right now. I mean, half of the park is still there, and in that upper half of the park, there are two pretty notable groves of old trees. And, you know, I think one of the issues is how do we go about saving that park, and how do we go about, you know, reshaping our demands and continue to ask for, you know, interim flood protection, continue to ask for true resiliency, and, you know, when half of the park's been destroyed. So we're facing a bit of a conundrum now. It means that our demand has to be much more complicated than, you know, simply saying save the park, as we could, you know, before it took them 14 days to utterly destroy the southern park.
I want to go into a little bit about the background of the what we can call the de Blasio plan, and how did it suddenly manifest itself, some of the questions that we have, why the plan was switched, how much it costs, what's the transparency? Maybe we go back to Catherine for that question.
Sure. Of course, to find out why it was switched, you'd probably have to ask the de Blasio administration. Particularly since, as I said, they were foremost in pushing other alternatives and trying for transparency with the community. They've never really told us. We've heard everything from, well, the community plan would have cost too much, but the community plan came in at $770 million, and this plan comes in at $1.45 billion. They also, apparently, as nearly as we can tell, they didn't want to have to close a lane of the FDR Drive. They were concerned about the Con Ed lines that run across the FDR and would have had to go through the park. And there may be, although they haven't put this contract out to bid yet, there may be a question of what they're doing with the sewer system, the combined sewer overflows, and the parallel conveyances. We don't know. In fact, it was so bad that when they came back and told the community this was the plan, take it or leave it, we actually had to, well, at first they said, well, we did this value engineering study. Then they said, no, we didn't do a value engineering study. It doesn't really exist. It's just a term of art. In fact, one of our local councilwomen said, oh, no, there is no such thing. That would have been Carlina Rivera. Anyway, as it turns out, there was such a thing, and we tried to do a Freedom of Information Act request to see it. They initially said no, then they turned it over to us, but it was 95-99% redacted. It was nothing but black ink over every page. And finally, we did go to court, and the court said, no, you have to turn it over to them. And then they still fought with us for several months before they actually gave us the whole value engineering study, which, by the way, they had to pay our attorney's fees for. And looking at that, that's why we think it has a lot to do with not wanting to close the FDR Drive, and wanting to get the Con Ed line, get the sewer systems. But those also present a lot of problems, because it wasn't just hiding from our community what was going on. It's also hiding from other communities, such as Newtown Creek, where the waste treatment plant is that all of our sewage will be flushed into, which is already an environmental disaster. So, pick your choice.
Harriet.
This is such an emotional issue. We all have so much that we want to ask and say. We know that there has been other better programs out there, requests out there. What about plans? What do you think about this plan? Is this a resilient plan? And what other plans have there been?
I'm not an expert, but it seems to me that this plan is anything but resilient. First of all, it feels like just a full-on assault on all of the communities that use the park. And that, to me, is not resilient. We were resilient during COVID. We all found each other in the park and used that green space. That would be my definition of resilience. I also feel like if you talk to people on the street and just in a very logical way and say, you know, is killing 1,000 mature trees a good response to climate change? There's almost nobody who's going to say yes, even people who just, you know, are your average lay person who reads the paper. So I think, you know, when you talk about uprooting trees that were actually providing flood protection, because as you all know, the roots are as big as the canopy, as large or as wide as the canopy. That park actually protected us during Sandy. Things would have been a lot worse had it been the wasteland that it is now. So I think that it's important to remember what this plan is about. As Catherine mentioned, you're talking about eradicating 1,000 trees, then pouring tons of fill, 1 million tons of fill, and they're always unclear about what the fill is and where they're going to source it, especially now during this time of you know, supply chain disruption. And then nobody can really predict how long it's going to take this fill to settle. So that means all the community members are going to be breathing it. No one's been clear about what kind of mitigation they're going to provide for the fill. Like, will they be covering it with tarps? Or will they, you know, how are they going to make sure while it settles it's not going to blow around and it go into our lungs? And last but not least, they're replacing a lot of passive green space with a lot of concrete. They're basically building a levee. So there's going to be more concrete and also more turf, more artificial turf, which so as an approach to climate change, as Catherine mentioned, you're making things get hotter and you're basically only protecting against one thing, and that's a superstorm surge. That's it. It doesn't protect against extreme rainfall. It could exacerbate the effects of extreme rainfall, conducting the water into the SDR and into the community. So this is the opposite of resilience. And I think one of the things that's been hard for us in East River Park Action is when there's coverage in the press and they call the name of the plan as the Eastside Coastal Resilience Plan, and it's anything but resilient. And I wish we could call it, you know, Eastside Choke Ruin or something else, but it's definitely not resiliency.
Not even plan. So what about the argument that the trees themselves were the wrong kinds of trees and we have to plant much better trees? How long would it take for these much better trees to do any good? That's a rhetorical question. I was also asking about when I asked what choice did the community have. Now what choice is being presented to the community? Either you get flooded or you accept this plan. And how is that affecting our beloved community? So somebody wants to take that question.
Sure. It's kind of a take it or leave it. In fact, part of the problem and one of the polarizing effects that this plan has had is that they are specifically telling a lot of residents and very much targeted to a lot of the NYCHA housing that if they don't get this plan, they're going to be evacuated. That it's this plan or no plan. They're not giving them a choice. And it causes a problem because a lot of them love the park. We had 2,000 signatures from NYCHA tenants who said they didn't want the park destroyed. But all they're being told is that this is it. You have no choice. And then they find, and it pits them against the people who are trying to save the park and, quite frankly, who want a plan that will work. You know, we really don't think this plan is going to work. There are so many problems with the idea that, well, first, that there's no interim flood protection at all. And when we had Hurricane Ida and historic rainfalls last year, where we got 3 inches of rain in 1 hour, that rain is going to come down on a mud pit. That mud pit is not going to sop up any rain. That rain is, you know, we don't know if we're going to get, in effect, mudslides or something similar to a mudslide. And we're also afraid that when they do put up the wall by the FDR drive so that any water that comes from the west will get trapped on the west side of that wall.
Right, the water doesn't just come from the river. We're all living on a wetland.
Right, well, if the storm surge actually happens to be higher than the 8 feet or so they've calculated, and we don't know how they calculated, but if water comes over it, it's going to be trapped inside, you know, on the inboard side where all the houses are. And also, most of the housing by the FDR is lower than a lot of the housing on further west of us. People forget that New York City actually does have a topography. And a number of the NYCHA housing, of the NYCHA developments that flooded badly the last time around Avenue C and D, they flooded because they're very low. They were built on a swamp. And one other thing they apparently didn't take into consideration is that New York also has groundwater. We still have streams where the water comes into that stream, and now it has no place else to go. So we really think that this plan could backfire and cause a lot of damage and be very dangerous for people. And they're not addressing it.
And the court gave you a restraining order, and then the people who want to destroy the park said that, no, we want to destroy the park. And the court said, yeah, okay. And I know I'm talking to a lawyer when I ask, is there rule of law in this city or not?
Well, when we got the first CRO, the first temporary restraining order, they did it from the appellate division, which was the first level of appeal, after we lost the Supreme Court case. They obeyed it. But then when we went to the Court of Appeals, which is the highest court in the state, we got a temporary restraining order from them.
I'm going to have to stop you here, Catherine. As usual, the time flies by, and we need to wrap it up. But thanks for joining us. We will be continuing this on our Zoom recording, which will be available soon. So for more information, you can go to EastRiverParkAction.org. You can reach Catherine Freed and Harriet Hirshhorn via ourpark@EastRiverParkAction.org, or go to Instagram at @EastRiverParkAction. And join us in 2 weeks next year, January 7th at 2:30 p.m. to talk about the health effects of trees, forests, biodiversity, and global climate benefits.
Gee, what inspired that show? To get environmental news on a variety of topics, such as climate change literally shrinking tropical birds and changing their shape, and to listen to this show again or any of our past shows, go to www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org.
And the video version of last week's Ecologic about Occupy Biden will be on Manhattan Neighborhood Network this Sunday at 11 a.m. and on YouTube soon after.
You can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming events and people making a difference. This is a most important role for Ecologic and WBAI-FM.
And you can help keep WBAI alive and healthy and Ecologic on the air. WBAI is making a year-end push to pay for our transmitter rent. Donating to the Transmitter Tower Fund helps keep every single show on the air. Go to towerfund.wbai.org.
You can even donate in the name of Ecologic. Radio may seem free, but there are costs, and our listener-supported radio station needs you. Help keep WBAI on the air. Call 212-209-2950 or go to towerfund.wbai.org. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic, especially.
Also, those of you online, please sign up for our email list to stay connected with us. Those of you on social media, please search for Eco-Logic. And thanks to our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson, we couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm J.K. Canepa.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us in 2 weeks, January 7th, when we talk trees.
David Brand. Now each week City Watch brings you the newsmakers, newsbreakers, reformers, performers, movers, and shakers shaping New York City and informing us about our area, as always with a focus on equity and justice. And there's a lot going on in our city and state right now. I mean, when is there not? But the news is really coming fast and furious these days. We're here to help make sense of some of it. Now I feel lucky to be a part of WBAI, and we're lucky in the tri-state area to have this station. It's really all because of you and your continuing support. We are only able to keep bringing New York vital conversations with your help. And in New York, as we all know, talking about high rent is like talking about the weather. It's something we can all relate to. It's a handy little piece of small talk that we can share stories about, but it's a real problem. And at WBAI, the rent on our antenna at 4 Times Square is, get this, $17,000 a month. That's right, just to stay on the air with a clear tower signal costs us more than $200,000 a year. It's a lot to handle, and it's much more than our sister stations in the Pacifica Radio Network pay to stay on the air. Free speech radio is worth it. We know that this station, which reaches to West Jersey, up to Connecticut, up near Albany, and of course throughout the five boroughs and our surrounding area, it is worth it. And that's why we are asking you right now to go to towerfund.wbai.org and make a donation to help us. That's towerfund.wbai.org. It's easy, it's fast, and it goes a very long way toward maintaining all the great WBAI programming you know and love. That's towerfund.wbai.org. The best way not to forget to make that contribution is to go online right now and help out. You can donate in any amount you choose, and of course your donation is tax deductible. If you donate today, right now, you can count on being able to write off your donation when you file your taxes for 2021. So there's only a few weeks left in this year. And if you want to make a tax-deductible donation to a station that you rely on behalf of yourself, on behalf of listeners everywhere, on behalf of people who may not be in a position to make that contribution, we would love that. And there are so many ways to help keep free speech radio alive at WBAI. Your employer may match charitable donations. You might be able to double your donation that way. You can donate an old car to WBAI. You can even add this station to your will. Listen, WBAI is getting its financial house in order, and if we can raise $250,000 by the end of 2021, we can all rest easy knowing our tower rent is covered for all of next year. It only takes a small contribution by you, our listeners, who we rely on. Just please go to towerfund.wbai.org. That's towerfund.wbai.org. Or you can make a phone call. Call us up at 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. I also want to plug some of my favorite shows. WBAI brings you great shows like Driving Forces, Deadline NYC, Black Seinfeld, Golden Age of Radio, Max Politics, of course our wonderful musical programming show that leads into ours, Morning Ursae. There's Soul Central Station, there's From the Soundboard. Help keep us all these great programs going. Please just consider making a contribution at towerfund.wbai.org. Help us cover that $17,000 a month broadcast tower rent at 4 Times Square. Thanks for tuning in today. And remember, COVID is a justice issue. Stay masked up. Get vaxxed up. Thank you, everybody.
I see trees of green, red roses too.